Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on what is April 19th, 2021. I really hope you all had a fantastic weekend. We saw temps in the 60s and really not a cloud in the sky, right? I mean, absolutely beautiful blue skies. I got a chance to get out and play some golf with my guy Nick on Saturday. Shot a pretty good round. Could have been better. I mean, look, you can always be better anytime you're playing a game of golf, right? It is so incredibly difficult. but I love it. Al Woods got his Al Woods on Saturday. Pretty chill Sunday, and I'm so glad to be back here behind the mic here on this Monday. A few things that I want to touch upon later on this hour, folks, because this is a very big week in which we are going to see, without a doubt, the world of sports and the world, the real world, I guess you can say, collide as the Derek Chauvin trial comes to a close. Actually, you know, right now, as I look to my left, you know, I have my television on and I'm actually watching the closing arguments from both sides. Right now, the prosecution giving a closing argument in the Derek Chauvin murder trial, arguing why Derek Chauvin is guilty, and his defense will be speaking in just a moment. You know, at the time, again, I'm recording this as to why he is innocent. So we'll see what this jury decides. And again, you need all 12 to say that, yes, he is guilty in order for him to do some time behind bars. Unless, you know, if that doesn't happen, if you don't have a unanimous decision with all 12 jurors, you get a hung jury. So it's going to be a decision with a lot of weight, folks. And we all know how that video really just captured the hearts and minds of many last year, and how it led to many protests across our nation. Black Lives Matter, the movement that is Black Lives Matter, out in the streets and protesting the injustices of yet another black man at the hands of a white police officer. So, depending on what happens in this trial, we could see some pretty active situations in which many people are out there protesting and letting their voice be heard. So I know many cities are bracing for the decision in this trial. And I want to talk about how the NBA is preparing for the upcoming verdict in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. So I'll get to that later on this hour. I also want to talk about whether or not Michigan State is making the right decision in allowing some fans at the spring game for this weekend. That's right, the Michigan State football spring game will take place this weekend with fans in attendance. I'll give you the details on that story And we'll also have weekend winners for you guys, where I take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports and beyond. And I give you my thoughts on who had the best weekend in the world of sports and beyond. We call it weekend winners. But folks, as you know, during this pandemic era of current sports and me doing the show from the crib, you guys can weigh in a bit differently by, of course, calling 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can call and leave us a voicemail at that number. Again, a voicemail at that number, and I'll roll in your voice message on tomorrow's Current Sports, okay? You can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You can tweet the show at WKAR News, or you can simply just leave a comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, all right? So that's how you can weigh in via social media. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, let's start here. The Detroit Tigers. The Oakland A's swept a four-game series from the Tigers, including an agonizing 3-2 walk-off loss yesterday. Oh boy, the run was set up by a fly ball lost in the sun. The Tigers, they get an off day today before beginning a three-game series against Pittsburgh. A.J. Hinch, all Hinch wanted to do afterwards was just look ahead. The Tigers' right-hander, Michael Fulmer, will face Bucks left-hander Tyler Anderson tomorrow. It's been an odd road trip for the Tigers, who were swept in three games by Cleveland, then swept by the Astros in Houston, and now have endured four consecutive losses to Oakland. They finished 4-6 on their first time away from home in 2021. So the Detroit Tigers, I mean, I predicted that they wouldn't have a good year this year. I mean, I still believe that they are in full rebuild mode, and yeah, that is evidence of that. But Tigers swept by the A's. Okay, we've got some Michigan State men's basketball transfer news. As we know now, which former player, we now know at least one destination for a former player of the Michigan State men's basketball hoop squad, where that player will be heading. Well, former Michigan State basketball player Thomas Kithier, he announced that he will transfer to Valparaiso. The 6'8", 230-pound forward from Clarkston averaged 2.4 points, 2.5 rebounds, and 0.7 assists in a little over 10 minutes a game this season as a junior, starting 14 times. He shot 65% from the field. He had a plus-minus of minus 18. And Kithier, last week, he became the third Spartan player to enter the transfer portal since the season had ended. And again, this is not a new thing, folks. The transfer portal is becoming more and more of a thing every passing season. And, you know, we all know that Michigan State's season ended with that loss to UCLA, finishing the year 15-13. UCLA, a team that went to the Final Four and beat Michigan State in that play-in game. Junior guard Jack Hoiberg, he transferred to Texas Arlington. And sophomore guard Rocket Watts has yet to finalize a destination. We still don't know where Rocket will be playing next season. Junior Aaron Henry, he announced that he will enter the NBA draft. And that leaves Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo with one open scholarship after the inbound transfer of point guard Tyson Walker from Northeastern. So we'll see what happens this offseason as moves continue to be made with the Michigan State hoop squad. But again, Thomas Kithier announcing that he will transfer to Valparaiso. All right, the Michigan State spring game. As I mentioned, we now have an update concerning whether or not fans will be allowed to attend that spring game this Saturday. And the university announced that it will cap attendance at 6,000 fans. That's about 8% of the 75,000 capacity at Spartan Stadium for that 2 p.m. green and white scrimmage this Saturday. The game will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network and followed by Maryland spring game at 4 p.m. So tickets will be distributed digitally starting tomorrow for the top three levels of donors, who will be able to claim up to four tickets. And at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, tickets will be available to the general public on MSUSpartans.com with a chance to secure up to four per person. That same day, 500 tickets will be opened for MSU students. So that's how the distribution will take place. But again, capacity being capped at 6,000 fans. 6,000 fans are allowed to show up to Michigan State's spring game this Saturday. I'll have thoughts on that and more on that story later on this hour. Don't go anywhere. The Detroit Pistons are in action tonight at 7 p.m., and they will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are only three games better than the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons sitting at a 17-40 overall record. The Cavaliers just three games better again at 20-36. The Cavs will go for the season series sweep of the red, white, and royal blue. Having won the first two meetings in the first half of the season, the Pistons remain with the third worst record in the NBA at 17-40, with the Cavs close behind in the tank race for a top pick when the draft lottery spins ping pong balls come June 22nd. So right now, if you are a Detroit Pistons fan like myself, you are rooting for more and more losses. All right, want to make sure that we get a high draft pick. All right, the Winged Wheel, the Detroit Red Wings, they will take on the Dallas Stars tonight on the road at 7:30 p.m. at American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. The Wings had their three-game win streak stopped on Saturday by Chicago, 4-0 the final there. The Wings own the NHL's sixth worst record at 16-24-6. The Stars are at a record of 17-14-12. Man, it really is tough to be a pro sports fan in this state, right? My goodness, the Pistons, one of the worst records in the NBA. The Wings, one of the worst records in the NHL. The Tigers will end up with one of the worst records in the MLB. Oh, boy. You know, honestly, the best pro sports team, and I've said this for a while now, in this state, happen to be your Honolulu Blue, the Detroit Lions. I can't believe I'm saying that, but yeah, goodness. All right, I want to tip my cap to the University of Michigan women's gymnastics squad completing a feat over the weekend that is pretty special, folks, as the Michigan women's gymnastics team won the national championship. Yeah, I'm not talking about a conference championship. You know, I'm not talking about that, even though winning the conference championship is all fine and dandy. Folks, I am talking about the entire enchilada. All right, the national championship, a natty. For the first time in program history, they accomplished that feat on Saturday out in Fort Worth, Texas. Entering the fourth and final rotation, U of M had a slight lead. Both Utah and Oklahoma, though, were in striking distance. The Sooners seemed poised to take the lead with a strong performance in their floor exercise, but Michigan's anchor on the balance team, junior Abby Heiskell, scored a 9.925 to push the Wolverines over the top. Her score gave U of M a total of 198.25, the best score in team history. Unbelievable to win the championship. That's special, folks. Sophomore Sierra Brooks had the best all-around score on Saturday with a 39.7750, and Michigan is just the seventh different program to win a national title in women's gymnastics, joining Utah, Georgia, Alabama, UCLA, Florida, and Oklahoma. How amazing is that, though? The University of Michigan women's gymnastics team winning the national title. Pretty awesome stuff, folks. And, you know, gymnastics, especially college gymnastics, it is not really covered extensively. I didn't even know that U of M was even competing for a national championship until they accomplished that feat when it was all said and done, and I was reading the headlines on social media. But to do something like that, it is awesome. It's very, very special. We all know about just the incredible strife that this sport, gymnastics, has had here in this nation and, let's be real here, globally, when it comes to the Larry Nassar, you know, situation and John Gettard and you know, the Carollis. So to see some positive news like this, to hit this close to home, you know, yes, Michigan State fans, we're talking about Michigan here, the school down the road. But still, in this state, the state of gymnastics has not been healthy because of what we have seen take place in the national media, what we've seen play out because of the Larry Nassar scandal. So to have a team right down the road in Ann Arbor accomplish this, to do this, needs to be celebrated. So that is awesome, awesome stuff. And last but certainly least, Jake Paul, YouTube star, who I really, and I still probably don't take him serious as a boxer. Many do, though, because of what he's been able to do in his very, very young boxing career. He won another fight. It took Jake Paul less than 2 minutes to win his third pro fight. The YouTube star turned boxer, he sent Ben Askren, who is more so an MMA wrestler, really. You know, he's an MMA fighter, former wrestler as well, trying to box. You know, Jake Paul has been getting some good training, I must say that. And, you know, I'll say he's a boxer now, and I want to see him box a boxer. You know, not a former MMA guy or a former wrestler, but hey. Ben Askren got in there. He looked like he hadn't touched a weight in years. And the YouTube star and Jake Paul, he sent Askren to the canvas with a straight right hand midway through the first round of that cruiserweight fight Saturday. Yes, I wasted my time and watched that fight. Even though Askren got up, referee Brian Stutz, he called the fight at 159. I thought it was an early call. I don't know. The whole thing looked rigged to me. But it took place in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. That's home of the Atlanta Falcons. And it was a show, folks. Really had nothing to do with fighting, if you ask me. I mean, you had Snoop Dogg there, Pete Davidson. You had, I saw there was a, like this, you know, these different kind of performances there, like concerts, if you will, like Justin Bieber performed before the main event. It was more so a spectacle and not really a boxing event. But hey, people watched and it made a lot of money. So yeah, you know, as soon as Paul took care of Askren, you know, he went to celebrate and, you know, Paul, he just made quick work of Askren, and, that straight jab just sent him down. And after the fight, you could see, you know, Jake Paul climbing into the broadcast booth, celebrating with Snoop Dogg and taking a swig of some kind of, you know, some kind of drink. I don't know. But yeah, man, it was a spectacle. It's just, you know, this whole Jake Paul hype is just, I don't know. It's annoying me. If you can't already tell. All right, but hey, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you have any thoughts on any of those, I'm really curious, you know, to know how many people are going to try to attend the spring game. And I say try because, again, the capacity is being limited at 6,000 this Saturday at Spartan Stadium. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to go. You want to get out your house. We're still in the midst of a pandemic, and we have not seen fans at Spartan Stadium in a long, long time. And you want to go enjoy Mel Tucker's football program this weekend. And there are going to be many people that try to get their hands on some of those tickets and won't be able to. So I want to hear from you guys on the news of capacity being limited at 6K. Is that the right decision? Do you believe more fans should be allowed to attend in the midst of a pandemic? Or do you believe overall that this is the wrong decision because Michigan's numbers are too crazy? Why even have fans in the stands, period? Where do you lie with that? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Shoot me a voicemail and you can hear your voice heard on these airwaves on the Tuesday edition of the show. You can also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or simply just go to our Facebook page and weigh in that way and comment anywhere on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. All right. So let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on the Michigan State football spring game, and I'll talk to you about how the sports world is bracing for the Derek Chauvin murder trial verdict. All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, I hope that you all had a great weekend, an amazing, amazing weekend. It's going to be a bit of a chilly week here in the mid-Michigan area. And I think, dare I say, I think we're going to get a little bit of snow. Just some flurries, nothing crazy. But still, I think I speak for all of us when I say, spring, can you just please walk all the way into the room? You know, stop tiptoeing. Just walk all the way. Come on in. You know, it's a party over here. Please come. You are definitely invited. You are on the VIP list. Okay. Oh boy. But a happy Monday to you guys. And you know, Mondays are always such a busy time for all of us, right? As we are, you know, preparing for the long week ahead, you know, trying to be productive and knock out things and just be on our grind mode. And, you know, this Monday is a very big Monday for our nation because all eyes right now are centered on the Derek Chauvin murder trial. That's one of the stories that in the midst of all of our daily, you know, busy lives, you know, especially on a Monday where you're trying to check off everything on that to-do list and get ready for a big, big work week, right? That's one of the things that we're looking at that's on our minds because of just how emotional things were last year when we saw that viral video of George Floyd on the ground right there next to a police cruiser and Derek Chauvin's knee just slowly but surely taking his life as he placed his knee on the neck of George Floyd for more than 9 minutes. And I don't know about you, but I've been following this trial, you know, since it began, you know, a couple of weeks ago now. And we have now arrived at the closing arguments today. You know, as I speak, I'm watching right now prosecuting attorney Steve Shiler argue to the jury as to why Derek Chauvin needs to do some time. And in just a moment, Chauvin's defense will offer their closing arguments. And it's a key moment because, you know, we've seen countless times in our nation's history situations in which a white cop has taken the life of a black man or a black person and been found not guilty or is given some kind of slap on the wrist. Or, look, not even going that far to a trial at times, and, you know, because no wrongdoing was found. The injustices of our system is the reason why many black people like myself aren't confident in the system, aren't confident that the right verdict or outcome is going to play out the way it should. Now, I think SNL did a parody like 2 weeks ago in which, you know, they had like a fake, of course, Minneapolis news team bring up the Derek Chauvin murder trial. And you had Kenan Thompson, who's one of the black cast members on the show, as well as Ego Notem, who is also another black cast member. You know, they were up there talking about how, yeah, we're not too confident that that the jury is going to rule Derek Chauvin guilty. And again, they were tackling it in a comedic way, but there's a lot of seriousness there. Because if you think about it, I mean, all it takes, out of 12 jurors, all it takes is just one of them to say, I got some doubt here. I don't know. I don't know if Derek Chauvin did it. Maybe it was the exhaust coming out of the car that he laid next to. I don't know. Chauvin did the right thing. You know, he was out of control. I mean, all it takes is one juror to think that way, and you got a hung jury, Chauvin gets off. There you go. Mistrial. And you look at the news coverage leading up to this week. I mean, there are many major cities who are bracing for the worst, boarding up local stores just in case this trial leads to protests, which could sometimes lead to looting. National Guard has been brought in certain cities. I mean, it's serious, folks. And then Minneapolis is already, you know, going through so much. You know, the Dante Wright situation, in which another white officer took the life of a black man. In that case, a very young black man. Yelling taser, but had a gun in her hand. I mean, that happened just miles away from where George Floyd was killed by Derek Chauvin. I mean, come on. So, all eyes will be on the results of the Derek Chauvin murder trial. And we will see what happens. And we all know, I mean, how the world of sports has been directly reacting to this since that video of George Floyd saying "I can't breathe" for more than 9 minutes when that went viral. The NBA, for example, has reportedly told teams to be prepared for the potential impact of a verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial this week, which may include the possibility of postponing games. That's according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, who is the most plugged in NBA insider in the media game today. On Monday, today, we are hearing these closing arguments, and I'm sure there are many thoughts that are going through your mind. And if Yeah, and no matter the outcome, if Chauvin is found to be guilty and does do the time, many people are going to have an emotional reaction to that. Many people are going to feel like, okay, maybe there is some hope for our justice system. I know I will feel that way if that does happen. Got to be 100% with you guys. As a black man living here in America, you guys know where I stand on this. But if Derek Chauvin gets off here, I would not be surprised, and yes, I will be angry. Either way, you're going to have a reaction to this, whether it be good or bad. And the NBA world, especially, which is comprised of mostly black players, and, you know, these players in the league have not been shy in speaking up for what they believe is right. The NBA is really, when you compare all of the major North American sports, the NBA has led the way when it comes to voicing how they feel about the racial injustices of this nation. And they should, because, again, that is the league that has, percentage-wise, the most amount of black players. And they're tired of it, man. And it makes it easier to speak out as well. I mean, when you have the league's most popular player, the world's most popular basketball player in LeBron James, who is never shy in speaking his mind, in speaking up for the injustices that happen in here in this nation. When you got the league's best player, the face of the league, speaking up and letting his voice be heard in that way, it makes it easier for others to do so. And last week, you know, the NBA postponed the Timberwolves game against the Nets by a day after police shot and killed Dante Wright, again, the 20-year-old, who was shot and killed by a white female officer who she says, and according to the Minneapolis Police Department, they say she made a mistake and had her gun out instead of her taser, yelling taser three times and then pulling the trigger to a gun, not a taser. So the NBA responded with that, and that Timberwolves game against the Nets was postponed. And Wright's death has led to six straight days of ongoing protest in the Minneapolis area. Again, the same area in which the life of George Floyd was cut short. And the Timberwolves currently on a four-game road trip, and their next home game won't be until, April 27th? Against the Utah Jazz. However, the league is preparing for civil unrest and team reactions across the country in the aftermath of a potential verdict. In August of last year, the NBA stopped play for 3 days after the Bucks refused to take the court in a playoff game against the Magic following the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Again, the NBA has led the way in saying that, hey, a game does not matter at this point. We're going to use our platform to bring awareness to what is happening here in our nation, and we want to try and do something about it. So it's a big week, man. A big week that will be filled with a ton of emotion. Either way, again, however this thing plays out, you're either going to have jubilation from the black community if justice is served and Derek Chauvin is found guilty, or you will have irate anger if it goes the other way. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. which is why the league is bracing for it, man. So, what are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call and leave us a voicemail there. And again, I will I'll play your thoughts on the Tuesday edition of the show. But I want to pivot right now to less important matters, and I want to talk about the Michigan State spring game. The spring game will have fans in the his house at Spartan Stadium come this Saturday afternoon. You know, we've been talking about that and debating it for weeks now since the spring game date was announced for this Saturday, again, April 24th. And, you know, we've been debating it because, you know, you look at the numbers in this state, in our nation, and, you know, COVID-19 continues to rise. And now, you know, a lot of people have hesitancy when it comes to getting vaccinations. If you didn't already, not you really do. And you're seeing that as well due to the pause of distribution for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Due to blood clots in six people being found, and then the whole thing with AstraZeneca also finding blood clots as a possible side effect for those that receive that vaccine. So, you know, COVID-19 is still very, very real. The numbers are still going up, and, you know, it's just wild to think that, you know, I never thought that, you know, Michigan would be leading the nation when it comes to rising cases. Now, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer says that COVID-19 infections could be dropping in Michigan. And, you know, she believes that will happen very soon. She told NBC's Meet the Press that cases could be beginning to slow down. She didn't discuss specific data as to why. And Michigan doesn't release coronavirus-related data on Sundays, but health officials said Friday that the seven-day average positivity rate had dropped in recent days to 17.1%, but remained above a December peak of 14.4%. Still pretty, pretty high. And, you know, hospitals are still dealing with this and are near capacity, and but again, if you read into that, there is some hope for the numbers to go down. So, you know, and you ask yourself why, you know, why did this happen in this state? Why did this happen in Michigan? And for, you know, Gretchen Whitmer, she blames it on travelers, you know, as you know, you look at the spring break numbers. A lot of people went to Florida and partied it up in Florida, right? We all saw those images. And there were just many, many people that just ignored protocol and went down to Florida for a vacation. And a lot of them came back to the state of Michigan where they reside in and just spread the virus. You know, and then you talk about the variant, the B117 variant, right? Just grew so quickly here in this state. So that's what Governor Whitmer targeted there, and you know, as to why the numbers were so crazy in Michigan, because a lot of people in Michigan apparently went to Florida and got infected with the virus. How true is that? I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to, you know, contact tracing like that is so hard. But, you know, travel, I'm sure, had a lot to do with it. Bottom line, the question I have for you guys is, how safe do you feel right now? How safe? You know, I'm curious. I think that it's just me, you know, listening to what a lot of people have to say about where we are right now with the pandemic. And I'm seeing other images across this nation, especially down in Texas, right, where it's just a wild, wild west, where they've just opened up things completely. You know, I think it was that Texas Rangers baseball game where just people everywhere, no limit at all. You don't have to wear a mask. I mean, my goodness. So I feel like, when, you know, reading the posts of those in our state here in Michigan, if Michigan State came out and said that, hey, we're going to have unlimited capacity at Spartan Stadium. You know, the stadium holds 75K. We're going to have no limits. Come on out. I think that place would be filled. I really do. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that one, think that the virus is a whole hoax. Two, are just so, and I get it. I really get this part. I understand it, but still, it doesn't supersede health. But two, you've been cooped up at home for so long that you just want to get out and have some semblance of normalcy. Especially for those who, are season ticket holders for the Michigan State football team. You want to get back to watching your squad at Spartan Stadium. I just feel like, I mean, that stadium won't be packed. If they said, yeah, come on out, 75K, a lot of you would be there, and it would probably be at capacity. Now, it is tough for Spartan Stadium. Let me say this. It is tough for Spartan Stadium to reach capacity during a normal year. Right? I mean, how many times have I tweeted out a picture of Spartan Stadium during just a normal college football conference game, and it's not at capacity, the student section is barely even there, or they are, and they just leave after halftime so that they can go turn up at the local establishment, right? But now I think things are a bit different because of the pandemic, and I think, you know, people really, really miss it. Really, really miss being there. So I think that for me, you guys know I've been extremely cautious during this time. I am a believer of the pandemic. I know people very close to me who have not only been infected with COVID-19, and when I mean close, I'm talking about family and friends, not physically close to me, but, family and friends who have been infected with COVID-19, who have had, you know, bad symptoms. One person I know actually passed away from, two people, that I know passed away from COVID-19. I told you, I opened up and told you, how I got vaccinated and why I got vaccinated. Right. And I have not seen my family down in Florida. You guys know my mom, for those longtime listeners, they know. That my mom lives down in the Miami area, has been there for about 5 years now, along with my stepdad and my little sister. And I have not, I usually go down there at least, 2 to 3 times a year to go see them. And I didn't travel at all to see them last year down in Florida. So, in order to get back to some kind of traveling life and to see my family and, to not have to worry about, or at least, because, again, you can still get the virus even if you're vaccinated. But, again, the symptoms could be less if you do get it. But the likelihood of you catching it goes down. I'm playing a numbers game here. I feel like I'm just doing my part in getting vaccinated. That's just my personal choice, though. Everybody has, their own personal opinion. And at the end of the day, just be educated and make a decision that you feel is best for you. But make no mistake about it. It's not like COVID-19 just chucked up the deuces and walked out the door. Not at all, folks. The numbers are still up, and this virus is still real. People are still being hospitalized. And all I ask is that you do these simple acts that ensure some kind of safety when you're out there and about, walking around in public, trying to get back to your quote-unquote normal lives. And what does that include? At the very least, wear a mask. At the very, very least. Is Michigan State doing the right thing here at Cabinet at 6K? I think so. I get it. Look, Michigan State players, the coaching staff, you want to see fans back at Spartan Stadium. And you look at what's happening around the sports world right now. I mean, you see the MLB allowing fans to show up at games now. The NBA is allowing limited capacity at games now as well. So you look at a spring game at Michigan State. I mean, it was inevitable that they would allow fans to attend that spring game event. I didn't doubt that. And I pretty much guessed that they would just follow the trend that we're seeing around, you know, other sports, you know, just limit it. You know, you can't have a full crowd, but we are going to limit it at a certain number. And the number here happens to be 6,000. That is 8%, 8% of the 75K capacity at Spartan Stadium. So I think they're doing the right thing here. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have to wear your mask, right? You're going to have to be safe. Because Michigan State Athletics is saying that, you know, face masks are required. You know, per Michigan State University policy, face coverings must be worn by everyone, including all faculty, staff, students, alumni, vendors, and visitors, indoors and outdoors, while on property owned or governed by MSU, and while participating in MSU-related or MSU-sponsored activities. Look, I was just on campus. You guys know WKAR is located on the campus of Michigan State University. I was on campus last week for our spring pledge campaign, and I had to wear a mask the entire time. You have to be stringent, and you have to follow the rules. And, you know, I'm just curious because I've seen, though, other venues have said this, you know, face masks are required, right? But I've seen, you know, watching sports that somebody will have their mask halfway on, nose exposed, or it's under their chin, right? I brought you the story 2 weeks ago, though, how at the Breslin Center, they were on it. You know, a fan, you know, tried to use eating popcorn as an excuse to have his mask off the whole time, and he got booted for it. So, you know, we'll see how strict you know, security is at Spartan Stadium in enforcing, you know, this face mask rule. So, yeah, man, we'll see. And I'm curious, man, with all the talk about vaccines now, you know, I know that there are some preliminary discussions being had when it comes to a vaccine passport to travel out of the country. You know, is that fair? Is that infringing on your rights? Have to get the vaccine to go and go on that vacation to, I don't know, Aruba or Mexico, right? Or you know, a vaccine passport to go to games. You know, what do you think of that? Or is that the government overstretching? I think that's a bit overstretching a bit because I think that you should, at the end of the day, you are the one who makes a decision on what you put in your body. The government shouldn't have to dictate that. So, but at the end of the day, though, I think that Michigan State University is making the right decision, and I really hope they are very strict when it comes to enforcing that face mask policy. It is so easy to just put on a face mask, sit there in the stands, socially distance if you're not with a certain party, socially distance with your party, and enjoy the game. You're already outdoors as well, which also helps. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. We'll be right back. I'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports when we come back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and Weekend Winners takes us on home. Before I bid you all adieu, I just got one major Weekend Winner for you. You know, I know I mentioned them during our quick hit headliners, and they are certainly worth another mention before I say goodbye to you all. But the University of Michigan Women's Gymnastics Program, if you didn't hear, if you're tuning in late and you didn't hear, you know, that story at the top of the hour during our Current Sports quick hit headliners, but the Michigan gymnastics program won the national championship for the first time in school history on Saturday out in Fort Worth, Texas. Just amazing, amazing stuff. Quite the accomplishment. Again, a natty, folks. It's a natty. Just completely amazing. And I got one weekend loser. Anybody who spent $50 on the Ben Askren and Jake Paul fight, shame on you. Come on, man. I mean, that 50 bucks could have been used on much better things. Look, if you just lit $50 on fire, that would have been a better use of $50 than spending it on that garbage that we witnessed on Saturday night. I just want to get that off my chest. Okay? All right, folks. That will do it for this Monday edition of Current Sports. We'll see you on Tuesday. We are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people. We'll be right back.